radio@firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
I'm Harvey Eisner, Editor-in-Chief of Firehouse Magazine, and welcome to the Firehouse Magazine Insider for October 2010. Today I'm going to talk with Dr. Ray Bossery about his article, which is entitled, A Guide to Establishing a Rehab Program, which will be in the October issue on page 76. Dr. Bossery, I have a few questions for you to summarize the article. So can you please tell me some of the reasons what the majority of firefighter deaths are due to what type of condition?
Half of the line of duty deaths in America are cardiovascular sudden events, which includes heart attacks, lethal arrhythmias, and a few strokes, but mostly it's cardiovascular, cardiac events. And in order to lower that rate, you know, we've looked at what are the risk factors, and part of it may be good rehab at the fire scene for people that may be at risk or experiencing some symptoms.
Okay. What is the goal of a rehab program for a fire department?
I think the goal of a rehab program on its most basic level is to keep as many firefighters as possible in a normalized, healthy state to continue supporting the fire ground efforts. Just knowing that there's a rehab unit on the scene for an incident, structure fire or hazmat incident, gives a lot of confidence to the firefighters. I think it also, depending upon the climate, very hot, very cold conditions, allows for the firefighters to continue through multiple evolutions. And finally, for people that may have some symptoms, having a rehab unit and access to EMS evaluation may be an integral part of maintaining their safety.
The rehab sector, where is it optimally positioned on the fire ground?
I would say that it should be in an area that is accessible, but not too close to the fire ground operations where it might interfere with the ongoing operations. It should also have egress capability so that there's no impediment to getting people out should they need to be taken to a hospital for evaluation. Other than that, I think that the scene commander should try to designate an area fairly early on so that the support staff knows where to get things going, and that there's not a question later that it happened in an inappropriate place.
Okay, I've seen a lot of apparatus with awnings and things like that, and I've seen, you know, people or departments that have chairs. Is that something that would be a benefit, you know, to provide chairs, maybe come up on a pickup truck or something like that for the guys to sit down and take it easy?
Absolutely. I think that it's much better than just sprawling out on the ground. I think that, you know, if it's too hot or too cold, any apparatus with a large crew cabin would be really excellent, because you can really control the temperature inside. If you have one where there's space for somebody to, you know, take blood pressures, move around in, and have access to pretty much the whole body. You know, if you want to cool somebody off, you want to be able to get, you know, cold compresses, you know, behind the neck, under the arms, wrists, the legs. You know, you want to be able to cool somebody off, so you need a little bit of space to stretch out in. As far as having chairs and other things, a lot of times people, you know, sit on the bumper or do whatever, but having a dedicated area where you might have some chairs, shade during the summertime might be very good.
Okay, is there anything else that's required to take away some of those environmental conditions? I think you mentioned like tents and things like that.
Tents, some departments are now using large fans with water vapor going through it so that it really cools people off quickly. You know, but just basic things like trying to get the guys out of their fire gear fairly, you know, fairly quickly to cool off, and not going to another extreme where they become, relatively speaking, they start shaking and shivering. You know, you can go from one extreme to another fairly quickly, and that wouldn't be a good thing either. I think that you want to also have a ratio of people doing the monitoring versus the number of firefighters that are being monitored. You don't want to have one person that's overtaxed in what their responsibilities are, and they can't properly monitor somebody that may actually be getting worse on them. So, you know, I would probably say that there should at least be one staff to every, you know, eight firefighters that are being monitored. I think more than that, I think that you're diluting your resource too far.
Okay. How long should a firefighter rest when he goes into rehab?
It depends on the individual. The older the individual, or somebody who's been on medications or been under doctor supervision for a medical condition, would probably take longer. There should clearly be an evaluation endpoint, which is that certain firefighters should not return to active firefighting during that incident. I think we have to put our egos aside and say that as we do get older, you know, our natural capacities are being degraded. But it's even more true if somebody has a history of high blood pressure and is taking blood pressure medication, which very often includes a diuretic. So that water pill would perhaps predispose them to dehydration. Hydrating is a major part of rehab. So I would say endpoints might be stabilization of vital signs. And, you know, a rehab should be probably no less than 15 to 20 minutes for it to be of enough time to benefit the average firefighter, regardless of age.
Very good. Okay, and whether it's a firefighter, paramedic, EMS, or what other service, what medical monitoring should be conducted at the rehab site?
Certainly heart rate and respiratory rate are two very easy things to check on, involve no equipment except maybe a wristwatch. Automated blood pressure cuffs may be used. I think automated blood pressure cuffs are good because it takes a little bit of the background noise factor out of taking a blood pressure. It could be done pretty quickly. So I would advocate, with the improvements in blood pressure monitoring equipment, that those be employed. I would just, you know, look at a guy, and if he's still huffing and puffing, he's sweaty, he looks uncomfortable. A lot of guys who are not ready to leave rehab will still look flushed, they'll still be perspiring, the respiratory rate, heart rate will still be elevated, and they'll look anxious. And I think that, you know, clinical judgment is important here. If the guy is expressing any symptoms and they have a history, I think that that person should be evaluated by EMS and perhaps, you know, considered for further evaluation if appropriate.
Okay. And accountability, you discussed that in your article that'll be in the October issue. Could you please explain the two aspects of accountability that are under consideration for the rehab sector?
I think one is that we need to know where all the firefighters are at all times, and the second is that if somebody is going to be triaged out of the area, that we not have that overlooked by the fire leadership, because you do have to still, you know, follow up and make sure that that firefighter is being looked after. So that's the way I would look at that.
Okay, and then finally, the last question I have: what is the best way for a fire department to train and plan for a rehab sector at an emergency scene?
I think that needs to get the attention of the of the chief in the pre-planning stage. And I think that it needs to be activated when indications are that it's going to be a fairly large incident, certainly when weather conditions are perhaps an extreme. I think that pre-planning should involve perhaps having an ambulance unit at structure fires, if possible, on standby, and perhaps in conjunction with the fire department creating a rehab area, and you know, having some familiarity with it. It might be having the safety officer be aware of his responsibility to perhaps advocate for initiating a rehab response at these incidents. Going beyond that, once departments get in the habit of mobilizing their rehab unit, it tends to improve itself over time and become an indispensable part of the fire operations.
Okay, very good. Well, you can find this article online by following the link at the bottom of the podcast player page. And I just wanted to say again, we've been talking with Dr. Ray Bossri, who's in private practice in Middletown, New York. He's a member of the department up there in that area in Orange County, New York. He's been very involved in training and also working with firefighters to make sure that they're fit and can do the job. So we want to thank the doctor today for speaking with us with the article that will be in the October issue, page 76, A Guide for Establishing a Rehab Program. Thank you very much, Doctor, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Harvey.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.